Hi everyone, Sandman here. This video is brought to you by a donation from Robert J on Subscribestar. He didn't give me a specific topic, so I thought I'd share a conversation I had back in November with a guy named Justin. I listened to his travel podcast and he has tons of creative ways to save money on travel. Basically doing all kinds of life hacks. Stuff you guys haven't heard of before. His story reminds me of a strange Adam Sandler movie that I watched 20 years ago called Punch Drunk Love, where Sandler buys into something called the Healthy Choice Promotion, and amasses a million frequent flyer miles by purchasing large quantities of pudding. Justin does similar stuff to that by having 30 credit cards and getting credit card rewards points, and then cashing them out for free trips. And in this video, we're going to talk about how you can do the same. But before I get to it, let me first tell everyone about today's sponsor, Surviving Fourth Wave Feminism. There's a war in the West being waged by purple-haired ladies with orange man rabies. Let Dr. Be Real tell you about the feminist deal in his two-volume book series called Surviving Fourth Wave Feminism. His books are full of red-pill truth bombs and color images discussing the downfall of our society. The left and women are in bed together, and men aren't invited. Don't be a male feminist. Get both copies today. It's free with the Kindle app. Amazon's sponsor link is down below. Anyways, here's my chat with Justin. So enjoy. Hi everyone, Sandman here. So today I'm going to be talking to someone named Justin, and I've listened to his travel podcast before, and he comes up with creative ways to save money when it comes to travel. I mean, you can almost travel for free, but not quite. You still have to kind of spend some time getting points so you can actually get travel rewards that get you to travel for free. So this is stuff you guys haven't heard before, so I thought it would be kind of useful. And, you know, when I first heard of Justin and when he talked about his story, I thought about this Adam Sandler film called Punch Drunk Love. And in it, he actually goes for this thing called the Healthy Choice Promotion, where he like amasses a million frequent flyer miles so he can like purchase like whatever travel tickets he wants for free. And he does this by buying pudding. So Justin's life in a way kind of reminds me of like a weird Adam Sandler movie. So I thought like... I thought that was perfect. So anyway, Justin, take it away. Tell us all about your promotions. And I know you're going to start with the ones that are the easiest to do first so that people can kind of do them. And then we'll work our way up so that if people get bored, they can fall off. Or if they if they find them better and better, they can keep coming back and listening for more. So go ahead.
Yeah, the basics of it, or at least one major thing I do, is I sign up for credit cards. A lot of banks in the United States, this is mainly United States focused, and I think most of your listeners as well, the banks are offering these really big welcome bonuses. They'll say things like, hey, spend $3,000 in 90 days, and we'll give you 75,000 points that you can use for travel, that you can use for hotels, airline, or just generic travel purchases. So the idea here is to hit this welcome bonus or bonus spend on the card in order to get this really big boost of points and to sign up for many cards over time. So instead of paying full price for travel as people usually might do, like going through a travel portal online like Expedia, an online travel agency, I'm accumulating a lot of rewards through these very generous bank offers and opening several accounts in order to amass a big part of the travel balance. So some people might focus on, oh, I get 2% back on this, 3% back on this. That kind of return won't give you a huge amount, at least in the short term. But opening several accounts and hitting these big welcome offers is really going to move the needle.
Okay. So in terms of credit cards yourself, like you probably have 1,000 credit cards at this point.
I have about 30.
Okay. So what, like, over the years, have you actually had 1,000 that you canceled and it's down to 30 now? Or is that just something that like you just always keep it at 30 and then you kind of get rid of some and get new ones?
I have canceled some because some will have a very large annual fee that you would need to pay in order to maintain the card. And most of the value from the card is coming in the first year. So once you pay the first year annual fee, or if the first year annual fee is waived, then you have a decision whether you want to keep the card in the second year and beyond. Some banks will give you retention offers, outright waiving the annual fee, or they'll give you some kind of point bonus for keeping the card. But not all cards can be keeper cards in the long term. So it's evaluating good cards to get. And sometimes if you have a card for a year and then cancel it after that year, that's fine. That could be part of a viable strategy.
So tell us, so the first, like the easiest thing that people can do right now And in a way, they're using this strategy so that they can actually either augment their income or in some cases even replace all of the, like, all or a lot of the expenses that they have in their day-to-day lives. Because, you know,
for sure.
So tell us the easiest one that people could do right now.
Yeah, I really like the Chase Sapphire Preferred, of course, with Chase Bank. Right now, in November of 2021, they're offering 60,000 points. And all you have to do is spend $4,000 in the first 90 days with the card. Okay. And that's worth about $750 for travel, or even more if you transfer to travel partners like Hyatt Hotel Chain or airlines like Southwest and United.
And just so you know, like, I don't really know when I'm going to release this. So, like, are all of the suggestions you have, like, time sensitive, or like a lot of them kind of things you can do, like, going forward, like 2 or 3 months in advance?
Yeah, the offers change from week to week. So I stay on top of all the deals, and people listening, of course, can contact me for recommendations. I'd be happy to help them with
that. So how, either, like, do you have a website that you go to, or like, how would they get in contact with you?
Yeah, I have my own. Sorry, I have my own website. That's hurdygurdytravel.com. That's H-U-R-D-Y-G-U-R-D-Y, like the musical instrument, hurdygurdytravel.com, where I release podcast episodes and keep track of a lot of these offers. A website I really like as well is doctorofcredit.com, where he's releasing daily news about different offers and deals. And we'll talk more about some of those deals and checking account bonuses as well later in the show.
So is that Doctor of Credit with, like, doctorofcredit.com?
Yep.
Okay. Right. So it's not DR. Okay. Gotcha.
Right.
So in terms of, like, so you don't probably post, like, daily or weekly on your website, like, but the Doctor of Credit guy probably does.
Yes. And I have social media too, where I post some interesting stories or deals that are going on. Like, recently I went to Albuquerque for the International Balloon Fiesta. So I got three nights at Hyatt Regency Hotel out there for only 15,000 points that I transferred from Chase, from that card. And the cash rates were over $300 a night. So I got a really, really significant discount on that. So it's just one example of a really good redemption where, hey, instead of paying $300 for one night at a hotel, I spent 5,000 points, and if I were to cash out those points, they'd only be worth about $60 or $70. So it was a really incredible savings for quite an incredible event as well.
You see, my biggest concern is, like, if you're trying to cash points out, it's like there needs to be one place where you can go to kind of, like, so someone can keep track of all of these deals. So, like, is that kind of Doctor of Credit, or, like...
Yeah, Doctor of Credit really helps to keep track of what's going on, what the current offers are. I really like following his site because in time, yes, you have a lot of different issuers. There's Chase, U.S. Bank, Citi, American Express. And what I like to do personally is to evaluate these offers because some people out there might not know, okay, what are these points really worth? What can I do with these? So just because you see a big flashy number, for instance, like 100,000 miles with Delta won't be as valuable as 100,000 points with Chase, because, like, Chase points generally have more flexibility and they could be worth more, especially when transferring to Hyatt and getting really good deals like that one in Albuquerque that I mentioned.
So in terms of gift cards, so if I wanted to buy, if I spent like $5,000 on gift cards, where would I, okay, like, would I just go to, like, my local grocery store and buy gift cards there, or would I have to, like, go somewhere to find what's on, like, special, so it's like I'm paying 95% of the actual price of the gift cards? Like, how would that work?
Yeah, the deals really change from week to week, and now we're recording in November, so the holiday season is really in full force. I've seen several deals for Home Depot and Lowe's gift cards recently for 10% off or better.
Where would you see stuff like that?
Yeah, that's also on Doctor of Credit and a website I really like called GC, letters GC, galore.com, like gift card galore.com. The author of the site, Stephen Pepper, follows a lot of these gift card deals. So it's almost never a good idea to just purchase a gift card at full price, because there are many ways to save. And a simple, like, 10% off or $100 card for 90, or I've seen stuff like if you buy a $100 card, they load $10 bonus to the card. So a lot of these deals come and go, and it's a big way to save. And buying gift cards is a great way to reach these high spend goals on the credit card. Some people might be intimidated, oh, how am I going to spend $4,000 in 90 days? And if you're looking at some bigger expenses coming up, like home improvement, that's certainly a way to accelerate spending by gift cards, basically paying in advance and also getting a good deal in the
So paying for
process.
all your 2x4s and your supplies, getting, paying 90% as opposed to 100 cents on the dollar.
Yeah, and especially for business owners, if people are flipping houses, if they're doing landscaping, that could be quite a big
And then
saving.
if you buy those on your credit card, then you save even more.
That's right, because you're getting the reward points as a kind of rebate or an incentive there. Because a lot of people that are just using cash or debit card are usually getting zero rewards. And actually, they're in a worse spot because they're paying indirectly for merchant fees. Because a lot of these stores that you'll go to, they're using these card readers and they're baking fees into the price of a product. So if you're paying with cash, you're paying the fees that other people are essentially being charged for using credit cards.
Well, I see with cash though, like if you are working a cash job and you're kind of under the table, then in that sense you can't beat that. But then the debit card thing, like a lot of debit card companies, they actually charge you per debit transaction. So you're not only not getting points, but you're actually spending money to spend money.
Yeah, that could be the case. And you have to deal with what's in the account as well, as you risk overdrafting an account when you use a debit card. And then if you run into fraud, you're probably going to have a hard time with that. As some people I've known, they would swipe their card at a gas station and they'd find that it would be compromised a few days later. So now someone stole $350 out of their account and they're having to float that money for 2 weeks, possibly longer, before the bank resolves it. And then they're dealing with the overdraft fees and all the hassle of that. But credit cards offer a lot of protections that if you see a charge that's on your card that you didn't make, you can call the issuer and then start the dispute process, and you're not responsible for floating that money in the process.
Yeah, I mentioned we spoke before how I basically collect gas station points whenever I fill up gas, and how somebody ended up stealing my points and then getting like a season's worth of car washes. And then I called the company up, and apparently I went online. It's called Petro Canada is the company. It's owned by like Suncor, and their Petro points program has all kinds of security issues. So I think like if you're going to collect points, it's kind of smart to kind of go online and see what people say about the specific points and loyalty program before you actually go through with it.
Yeah, and there's a good amount of security for a lot of these programs because when I redeem for hotel nights, I get an email that says, "Okay, your account has been accessed. You've used points." There was one time I saw that there was some reservation in a different state I wasn't even in, and I called immediately and they said, "Okay, we're going to cancel the reservation. There seemed to be an issue. Maybe the agent entered the wrong loyalty program number." So I haven't had problems, and I've been doing this for about 3 or 4 years now, where my points balances have been very safe. I haven't had major issues.
So how has this changed your life? Like, when did you start doing this? And like,
Oh,
how
yes.
has your life changed? Explain all that.
Yeah, it's been really tremendous because when thinking of travel, my plan in the past would be, okay, maybe I take one big trip a year, maybe two, maybe a big trip like overseas every few years. But now it's gotten to a point where I've been able to get all these accounts, get all these benefits from the cards. Like a lot of these cards will give me certain statuses at hotel chains. They'll give me status with programs like Delta, American Airlines, giving me all these free incentives like checked bags, lounge access. So it's really, really increased my quality of life as far as just being able to see new places and not have to really spend all this money to do it. Where,
So a
right?
good example would be like, okay, I'm going to fly from, wherever you are, like say you're in Albuquerque and you want to fly out to New York and you have to pay $30 or $40 to check your bag. So if you use a specific credit card, it gives you like the check bag fee waived, right?
Yeah, being the owner of various Delta cards with American Express, for example, your Delta account already has the check bag for free on it. So when you check in online before the flight, it asks you if you want to add bags and it shows you the complimentary bag right on the account. So one way, that's easily saving you about $35.
Yeah.
So that it really adds up. Some of these smaller wins add up over time, and I get free global entry and TSA pre-check. So when I went to Athens, Greece before the pandemic, I didn't have to wait in the very long line for customs to get back through the airport. I got to skip that whole
And that was
line.
also the Delta one?
That particular one was from a card with US Bank. The Altitude Reserve card gives you a TSA pre global entry, and a lot of other cards give that benefit as well. So a lot of these cards, these premium travel cards, give you a lot of these benefits. benefits just for free, as it normally would cost $100 for global entry and TSA pre, but they issue you a statement credit after you pay for it.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a Canadian, like a TD Bank card, and it basically gives me like travel rewards in the sense that I don't have to pay for like health insurance. So it gives me coverage. And then I also have a gold visa, which actually gives me car insurance. So when I basically book a flight, what I'll do is I'll book it on the travel card, and then that'll give me the insurance for the trip, especially when I'm going down to the States. And then, like, I mean, you don't even have to do that. You just, as long as you have that card, you're kind of covered.
Yeah, it's automatic.
Yeah.
Yeah. A friend of mine got in a really weird situation where they had a rental car and they were in the parking area in the airport returning it, and someone wasn't paying attention and rear-ended them. And the rental company actually charged my friend for the accident, even though she was in the process of trying to resolve it. And she used the Chase Sapphire Reserve card to book that rental car. And she contacted Chase and they said, no problem. Don't even worry about it. We'll handle the charge. So she wasn't even responsible for all that damage that was done to the car.
Well, she was rear-ended. So that basically absolves her of any damage anyway, right? But
yeah, the rental companies can be really ruthless.
Yeah, though, yeah.
Banning people or just trying to get you for extra money and, you know, not good. So just one example there. And with Albuquerque, for instance, like this balloon fiesta was an event that I was eyeing for a while. You get to just be in the field with all these hot air balloons that light up at night. They had music, fireworks. It was a really, really cool event. But the idea of paying $900 for three nights and then maybe the flight would have been like 500, 600 round trip from Pennsylvania, just being able to use miles and points to do all that and have these really cool experiences. Or as I've mentioned, going to Athens, Greece, I use my Hilton Honors points from various American Express cards to book a 5-night stay at Hilton in Athens, Greece. And the flight was completely covered with United miles that I transferred from Marriott with another American Express card. So being able to use all these points in tandem really, really saves a lot of money. The flight from, it would have been Newark, New Jersey to Greece round trip would have been $1,500. But through one sign up bonus on a card, transferring the points from Marriott to United, I was able to cover that entire round trip flight.
I think if I was trying to build a business out of this, so what I would, the first thing besides just traveling around and, you know, like I told you, like I get free like health insurance coverage when I travel. If I use a specific travel card, I get free insurance when I use the gold card. So, you know, that saves me from having to buy like, is it Red Cross or Blue Cross? I can't remember the name. So that saves me that money. And then I also save money by not having to pay for insurance with the car rental company. So that's also good. But the thing is, like, you're obviously going to still pay for your car insurance. Now, not car insurance, you're going to still pay for your rental. And we all know that the rental car fees have just exploded like massively over the last 5 to 10 years, which is just insane. Right.
Yeah, people are renting U-Hauls to get around because they found that cheaper in some instances.
Really? So they're renting like for what, $19.99 a day and then just kind of like driving?
yeah. These big U-Hauls getting around because some people are seeing fees like $150, $200 a day, or sometimes they wouldn't even be available.
Yeah, no, it's really weird because with the car rental companies for the longest time, like I remember from like the early 2000s all the way to like, I'd say 20, I don't know if it would exactly this happened, but it was probably like 2013, 2014, 2015, somewhere in there where the car rental companies, just the price of stuff just went absolutely, like it doubled or tripled in the span of like a couple of years. And I still can't figure out why. You know, but you could go to like second or third tier car rental companies, like, you know, like Rent-A-Wreck and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, there are companies like Fox, which is just kind of ridiculous. I've rented from them before, and it was like the lineup was like 2 hours to get a car. It was just insane. This is like in Vegas, and I was like,
right.
You get the card, it's like it's clean, but you can definitely tell they're not like these aren't like. They're not keeping them in pristine shape, right?
Yeah, it's not quite Enterprise or Hertz. And speaking of Vegas and business, I do weave this into what I do. I play a lot of poker. That's how I originally got into all of this, is I was listening to a gambling podcast and someone was talking about how to save money on travel. And, hey, you can open this account. You can get these airline miles. That's what I've been doing. And going to Vegas and actually getting casino statuses through these credit cards has been really interesting.
So what cards will give people certain status at certain Vegas casinos?
Yeah, the Wyndham Business Card with Barclays Bank is probably one of the best for that right now.
What do you get?
They give you 45,000 points. That's worth about $450 or more if you spend $1,000 in 90 days. This is for people who have a business. They'll ask for some documentation in many cases. So if you have an LLC, you should be fine there. Some people are getting by with sole proprietor on their application as well. This card also gives you automatic Wyndham Diamond status, and Wyndham has a partnership with Caesars. So once you have Wyndham Diamond status, you can match that status to Caesars just by going online, and you get Caesars Diamond status. So now, with one status with Caesars, that gives you a waiver of resort fees. So if you stay at any Caesars property, you don't have to pay the $40 or so in resort fee per night. So that's a real money saver right there. It also gives you some other benefits, like you get a $100 celebration dinner every calendar year. And the real thing here is that you're able to match Caesars status to various other programs. So I've matched it to MGM and gotten status with them. I've matched that to Wynn, WYNN Casino in Vegas. Unfortunately, that promotion ended. But as part of matching with Wynn, they gave me a $150 dinner and three free nights at their Encore hotel in a junior suite. So that was really generous because I think these casinos see, okay, look, this guy's a big player at another casino, so we want to invite him in and give him some bonuses. But little do they know that you can just match and get the status just from owning a credit card. So
So.
that's been really, really nice. So when I want to go out to Vegas and play, instead of playing at local casinos, I'll save a tremendous amount of money just having these certain benefits, whether it's on food, whether it's free hotel nights, and also going to Atlantic City, as I've matched the status to Hard Rock Atlantic City, Ocean in Atlantic City, getting free nights and free play with them as well. So there are a lot of benefits of this status matching.
So.
Another thing I oh, go ahead.
So besides just getting points so you can travel in a cheaper way, like, so for example, say I wanted to go and buy Starbucks cards. I spent like $2,000 on Starbucks cards and I wanted to sell them and get the points. Like, how would I go about it? What would be the first thing that I would do?
Yeah, so I wouldn't recommend Starbucks as a brand, but as I've mentioned before, Lowe's and Home Depot,
Okay.
it's another thing I do. I do a lot of reselling. I have an eBay store. I buy a lot of physical product from retailers like Target, GameStop, Best Buy, and I'm able to flip it. I'm in a group that gives me notifications when items come back in stock, so there's high demand and low supply. Right now, I'm getting new OLED models of Nintendo Switch, and a new Nintendo Switch Lite model that came out, some computer parts that I'm flipping and able to make a
So
profit
where
on
would you
tax
go
deductions.
just to kind of like Best Buy or GameStop and buy this and then kind of put it online and sell it like on eBay or like what, how exactly would you do that?
Yeah, that's what I do. I order the products online and I have them shipped to me. I have a UPS store address, so the clerks there hold the items for me, and then once I see that there's a shipping notification, the item has arrived, then I go and pick it up. And I list the item on eBay and then flip the item for profit. And this is a very creative way to spend on these credit cards.
So then
Not to mention.
you're collecting the points, but you're also making a slight profit off of the product that you're
That's
selling.
right. Yeah, that's
But
right.
again, that also involves getting onto eBay and becoming an eBay seller, so you're starting another business as well, so that complicates
Yeah.
things even more.
There are a lot of ways. Like, not everybody's going to be a product reseller for sure, but I think that credit cards are so flexible that you can weave it into what you're doing already if you have some sort of side hustle, especially when the banks are giving you very generous credit limits of $10,000, $15,000 or more. Or with a lot of these business cards, they're giving you an introductory 0% APR. So, like the US Bank Triple Cash Card, for instance, right now they're offering 0% intro APR for 15 billing cycles and giving you a welcome offer of $500 just for spending $4,500 in 150 days. So say US Bank gives you a credit limit $10,000, $15,000, and you can leverage that and fund other things.
See, like, I thought about this. I'm like, I knew somebody used to run like an adult entertainment club, and what they would do is they would go and they would sell the beer and they would make money off of that. But they would also go to like the liquor store and they would buy and they would use their loyalty program and just buy all the liquor and then collect all
Yeah.
the points and then they would travel for free just off of that. So, I mean, obviously you're not going to start a bar so you can collect the points, but you might go to like bars that already exist and be like, hey, like, do you have somebody that like picks up the beer and the liquor for you? Would you actually like pay somebody to do that for you and like say give them some like a really low ball number? You know, be like, I'll work for like $10 an hour or $5 an hour, like going to the liquor store and like loading stuff up and bringing it to you. And, you know, most of them will probably say no, but a few of them might say, you know what? Like, I'm already doing that. Sure. Like, if I'm going to pay you some small amount to already do my job so I can do something else, that would pay off. And meanwhile, they're probably not even like buying stuff and getting points. And meanwhile, you're the one that's going to collect the points off of that stuff, and they're going to pay you some small pittance for your gas and a little bit for your time, and that way you can collect all the points. So,
Yeah,
go
that's a possibility. Yeah, I know some people who work with car dealerships, they work at colleges, and they're able to expense things to the credit cards that they have, and they just get reimbursed for, okay, I'm covering the catering for the dinner that we have, and I could just file some paperwork, and then I get like 200, 300 back from my company. Or, hey, you have to go to a business meeting, and your employer is going to reimburse you for that, so you can charge a flight to your card and get the spend and get the points in the meantime. So there are really a lot of ways to win with this hobby.
So basically, you could literally turn it into a business. Like, don't think it's not like it wouldn't be a business. But you know, if you find another person or company that wants to, like, it's already have to already has to buy stuff, and you buy that stuff for them, they reimburse you. Now you basically have all these points.
Yeah, and I'm also involved with something that are called buyers groups, where there are these warehouses that want to source a lot of product. So instead of, say, okay, I'm selling stuff on eBay, these buying groups put out purchase orders, and they'll say like, hey, buy some laptops from Dell for us, ship them to us, and we'll reimburse you for the
Do
laptops.
you know a
So
website for that, or is that like a specific private group online?
there are a lot of different ones. There's one called The Deal Buyer. There's
Okay.
MYS,
Sorry,
the Buyers Group.
I'm making note of this. So the
Yeah,
deal
no problem.
buyer, is that dealbuyer.com or is that something else?
That's something else, but you can look around and find some of these groups for sure. If you even just look at buyers clubs or buyers groups online. I've also bought stuff for a group called PFS Buyers Club. They put out orders for US Mint coins occasionally. The US Mint releases limited edition coins. So they'll say, hey, go and buy us these coins. We'll pay you a slight commission. And some of these coins I've bought were like $4,000, $5,000 coins that I sold to them. And I get reimbursed by a check or an e-check or PayPal. Everything's gone super smooth. These buyers clubs exist because they can only get so much
Yeah.
themselves. So say, okay, you can
Concert
only get
tickets or whatever.
one order per household or one order per card or whatever. So they're trying to get a bunch of people to send the stuff to them so that they can flip them to buyers that they have or take the chance on it. But some people aren't so thrilled about buying a coin for $5,000 and listing it on eBay because, okay, what if it
Yeah.
tanks? What if the market is very volatile? So some people reduce some risk and go with some of these buyers clubs. And it's like, hey, even if I only get a small commission, I got $3,000, $4,000 to spend on my card. And look, I got a bonus $500, a bonus 60,000 points. So there are a lot of really creative ways to spend without really spending in this.
And so a lot of the points programs, so like for example, I'm with something called Air Miles here. So, you know, they give you like flight points, they give you certain air like number of air miles depending on what you want. But they also have other products and services. So, you know, if you want to see a movie, you can cash out your thing for a movie, you know, like for movie. I don't really know who watches movies in the theater anymore, but yeah, you can cash it out for that, or you could cash it out for grocery cards. So
Yeah, there's some math to do that's important because not all redemptions are equal. Typically, you're getting the most value with travel, but if you're going to cash out as a statement credit or cash out for gift cards, generally you're not getting the best value there. But you can do the math and see what the best redemptions are. Like if it would say, okay, well, you would need 7,000 points to get a $50 gift card for Panera. Or you can use 7,000 points and get a free night at a hotel. Like you're almost always going to want that free night at the hotel, right?
well, it just
So it really
depends on the
depends. You have
person,
to look
and
on the
yeah.
program, yeah, and what the wants are. Because some people get in this and they only focus on cash back and not the travel at all. But even many of the flexible points can be cashed out. Or you can always, with your own social network, arrange to book flights for friends or family. and then they'll just give you the cash, and you could give them a sort of discounted rate. So that's another way to essentially sell off some points. There are some options there.
So Dock of Credit would be the guy.com that has all the credit cards that you could buy and all the offers, the promotional stuff that they get from that, right?
Yeah, Doctor of
And then there's
Credit.com.
gift card galore doc or gcgalore.com, gift card galore. That's the place where you basically can resell your gift cards, or is that the place telling you which gift cards are extra like cheap?
Yeah, he lists the deals. I sell to a bunch of private buyers that will request some orders. But there are also some more open exchanges that people can get on. One of those is called Gift Card Wiki, Wiki, that they'll list rates for cards that they're taking, and you could sell it to them. So the main thing is to look for the promotions, because you're not just going to buy a card at face value for $100 and sell it for $90, because you're going to be losing money there. But when promotions come around that give you 10% off, then you'll be happy to do it. And in better states, you can find some arbitrage opportunities where you can stack certain things and end up ahead in points. Like, there's a promotion in my area at Giant grocery store right now. They're giving 5x points on gift cards that you buy in store. So these 5x points, you get 5% back in the form of groceries. So if you were to buy a $500 Best Buy gift card, for instance, you'd get 25 back in groceries. And then if you're using a card that bonuses grocery spend, like the American Express Blue Cash Preferred gives 6% cash back on grocery purchases. The American Express Gold Card gives 4x points on grocery purchases. Now, you're getting these groceries as a rebate. So that's, if you're selling the Best Buy at 97% face value, well, look, I'm getting the 5x back in grocery rewards, and I'm getting the credit card rewards too. So even though I'm selling at 97%, I'm way ahead on the deal right there.
You
So that's been one recent thing I've been
see,
doing.
keeping track of like you said, 30 cards and keeping track of all the specific. So when you walk into a grocery store, you gotta like open your wallet and think to yourself, okay, like I've got 30 cards here. Like which one is gonna be the
Oh
one I'm
no,
gonna
no!
use?
I'm doing that calculation at home before I even get
Oh,
in.
okay, gotcha.
Yeah, for sure. And I started very small. This might sound a little bit intimidating to viewers,
It is.
especially if they're not really mathematically inclined. But in my case, I started with one premium credit card, and I had to spend $3,000 in 90 days to get $500. So once I got really close to that bonus, I thought, wow, this is great. I can continue to do this and find ways to spend more and scale up what I'm doing. And
So,
then
like,
I
if
signed
you,
up
I
for
mean,
a second and it went from there.
some landlords let you pay your rent and on a
Oh,
credit card.
absolutely.
So yeah,
Absolutely.
so basically, if you're spending $3,000 a month on rent, you're spending 2,500 because you're getting the 500 back, right?
Yeah, I'm spending $8.50 a month here in Pennsylvania, and it's like a $5 convenience fee to use a credit card, which is an amazing deal. Because like the weakest return I'm getting on my cards is like 1 to 1.5%. I have a card that's giving a lot more than that. So the $5 fee is well worth it, especially if you're spending toward a sign-up bonus or a welcome bonus on a card. So yeah, paying rent. And another service I've used, because you can't always use credit cards to pay bills, it's a service called Plastiq, Plastiq. Now, what they do is you use your credit card on their website and they write a check to a payment recipient. So say if you have some electrical work done at your house and the electrician can't directly take a credit card, well, Plastiq will send a check to them in the mail and you'll just use your credit card for the transaction. Now, Plastiq charges a small fee, but when you're working again toward a welcome offer and getting rewards back, it can definitely be worth it.
Well, your electrician's going to hate you for that because he wants cash.
It depends. It depends. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm just thinking about this in terms of like you said, get the promotional cards from. So anyway, get a credit card that gives you high points on specific types of purchases, from Doctor of Credit, and then go over to Gift Card Galore and then start buying the cards from there with the credit card that you just got, right? And then like find a like where would you get rid of these like gift cards? Like the deal buyer groups, are they really going to buy it, or is it
Oh.
more like would you have to post the cards someplace else online?
Well, the deal buyer is the
Are there
physical products like the
okay.
computers, the Nintendo Switches, stuff like that. But the gift card buyers, again, there are some public exchanges that you can apply to be part of their site
Do you know
and
any off
go
by
through it like
hand?
an on. Yeah, I mentioned Gift Card Wiki is one of them. I mostly sell to some private buyers because I've been in the community for so long, and in certain groups that you can join, there'll be people posting in there and they'll put up saying like, hey, I'm looking to buy this and that card. And there are people who will vouch for individuals, and you're able to sell the cards and get paid. I generally get paid through ACH, so direct deposit is sent to my checking account, or some will pay with e-check or PayPal or Venmo, depending on
How the
how big the
trust level.
transaction is.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah, so a lot of ways to win. So the gift card reselling is definitely something I like doing to get the spend in on these cards. And a
Because
lot
I.
of cards will have what are called high spend goals, where like if you spend $15,000 in a year, you get a free night certificate, you get airline status, you get bonus money, like an extra $200, extra points. So there are a lot of benefits for scaling up to get more rewards.
Gotcha. So I'm just thinking, like, you get the credit cards with the points, then you buy the gift cards, and then from the gift cards you go on something like Gift Card Wiki and you basically sell them, and then you get your money, like you make sure you have everything's kosher before you go through with the final
Right.
transaction. So you complete the circle, and then at the end of the day, you've got these points, and then you could go on the points website and you can pretty much buy anything you want. Right, like if they're selling toasters and car washes and stuff like that, or you can cash out for airplane tickets, or like what if you wanted money instead? Like how would you turn the points into money? Are there exchanges for points that you could actually sell the points on?
Yeah, there are, but a lot of these programs will just allow you to cash out points. Like I have a lot of American Express points that are called membership rewards. And American Express also has partnerships with Charles Schwab and Morgan Stanley. So if you get a Schwab card with American Express, you can just directly cash out your points into an investment account for 1.1 cents per point. So right there, you could just directly cash out the points.
Wow.
Morgan Stanley is another one too for 1 cent per point. And there are a little bit of different benefits on those two cards. Like the Morgan Stanley card gives you a free authorized user, which is really nice because then the authorized user on the account can have access to the American Express Centurion lounges. And my general thing is I'm trying to get as many cards as I can. So I've had the Schwab card and the Morgan Stanley card because I can put in the spend to get these really big welcome offers. So why would I not do that? I'm just trying to get all these accounts. At some point, you get throttled, though, because some of the banks will say, oh, you've opened too many accounts in the last 6 months, the last 12 months. So there's a strategic thing, and this is what I look into and advise people, is that I understand a lot of these bank rules and what the underwriting is looking like and what they're doing. Like some banks have internal rules like Chase that you can only open 5 accounts on your personal credit in the last 24 months, or you'll be declined for a card. So say if you've applied for exactly 5 or more in the last 24 months and gotten approved, then they're not going to issue you more cards. But if you're under 5, then you would get approved. So one way to get around these bank rules is applying for business cards, because a lot of business credit cards don't appear on personal credit, and it's kept separate from your personal finances, which is a really nice thing.
Yeah, no, I'm thinking about this like whenever I find something like this, I think to myself, how do I take this and turn it into like $100,000 or $200,000 a year business? Right, because technically this is just designed to like, get your foot in the door and get loyalty programs so you keep coming back and you become, the loyal customer of the company. But meanwhile, here you are like exploiting the company in a sense. You're not in not directly, but kind of you're buying, you're spending what, they want you to, but you're paying off the balance immediately and you're that I think that's really important to stress. Like a lot of people think that, if they roll over the balance a few months, like they're going to get caught with like paying the 1, 2, 3, 4% fees, and then that's going to eat away at any profit they would have made.
Oh, absolutely. You definitely need the financial discipline. So if you're out and you're thinking, oh, I'm just going to buy some plasma TVs and Gucci bags and all of that, you're not going to come ahead in this hobby. It's certainly not that. You have to be responsible about your finances. And the way I treat credit is like, okay, well, I'm going to buy what I'm going to buy anyway. I'm not just spending more just because I have plastic. We have to maintain that discipline and not try to live a life that we really can't afford or support. So that's what the banks are really relying on. They love it when people are overspending and paying like 20, 25% interest on cards here in the States. So yes, paying the balance in full, being responsible, being on top of the accounts, and making sure that you're not overspending is definitely something that's really important about all of this.
Yeah, they end up calling the people who pay off their balance every month like the deadbeats.
It's like the opposite of if it was just people who actually do pay.
Yeah, there could be a predatory side for sure from these banks where, we've seen these scandals in the United States where they were signing people up for mortgages, even though they really couldn't afford to pay for them. But yes, the bankers were getting some commissions, or there were some kickbacks, or certain banks were signing people up for accounts that they didn't even know existed. And then all of a sudden they're getting bills in the mail. I'm like, well, what's going on? I never opened this account.
Yeah, the
So,
ninja loans.
yeah, there are a lot of weird things happening here in the States, and I imagine elsewhere. So yes, the banks, they want to make money off of you, but this is an opportunity to make money off of them for sure.
Gotcha. So anything else that you could kind of like, do you want to take the conversation in a different direction? Like, what were you thinking?
Yeah, there's also some other lower hanging fruit. I like to open checking accounts that have promotional offers. Is here in Pennsylvania, there are multiple credit unions. There's one in particular, Ardent Credit Union. They're offering $350 if you connect a direct deposit of $250 or more, enroll in e-statements, and swipe a debit card 8 times soon after getting the account. So I'll open these bank accounts to get these big bonuses, where these banks are hoping, okay, well, this is like a marketing thing for us. We're going to attract people in by giving them these bonuses. Maybe they'll sign up for other products with us, like car loans, mortgages, other credit cards, stuff like that. So I think it's definitely one thing that people can do if they're working a traditional job, or if they're doing something like reselling, like me, and getting some direct deposits and accounts. You can definitely make some extra money
So
or.
let's say I've got my, my car payment and I've got my phone bill, and they're more than 250 direct deposit every month, right?
Well, no. A direct deposit would be money incoming to the account. So you'd be paid by an employer, for instance.
Okay. So you would just basically, okay, so you'd sign up for credit union, and then the employer would, you'd set up your direct deposit from your employer to go directly to the credit union. How long would you have to keep doing it with the credit union to get the $250?
Well, this requirement is that you get a $350 bonus for just doing one direct deposit. So you can just
Okay.
have the direct deposit in there one time and then just move it back to another account.
So technically you could, like, if there's like 10 banks, 20 banks in your area,
Oh, yeah.
you could just go 1 month, you could go to one bank and be like, you know what? I got a day off. I'll just go to the bank. And you open an account, you spend maybe half an hour, 40 minutes, you open your account, then you switch your direct deposit, and then you're done. And then next month you open another, you come back to the bank, you say, well, you know what? It doesn't really work for me. I'm going to close this bank. Thank you. Bye. And just like leave. Or
Well,
do you have,
I think it's even better than that because a lot of these accounts I'm able to just open online. So the application
oh,
process
wow.
online is like 5 to 10 minutes usually. It's rare that you have to go in branch to open one of these accounts, but sometimes you're required to, especially with the business accounts because they want to see documentation of your business. And when I opened my business about 2 years ago, I filed through an online website. They sent me documents in the mail and some files that I was able to save on my computer that shows like articles of organization. And you are officially a business with the state of Pennsylvania.
Yep.
So like I bring those documents in there, and the banks have increased some of their security measures over the years because they're worried about fraud and money laundering. So I think they just want to meet people is a
Yep.
general thing, especially with these business accounts. So yeah, it's a very easy process to open these accounts and yeah, move a direct deposit around. In many employer portals, you can just log in and just change the bank information on there. So I think that's a very easy thing people can do. And maybe not once every month, because just like with credit cards, you get throttled at a point where the banks usually have a back end called CHECS systems, CHEX, CHECS systems, where
Okay.
they keep a log of all the accounts that you have and have signed up for. So at some point, they might decline you due to too many recent accounts. So you can space out bank accounts by about maybe 3 months, 4 months, especially just when starting with this, you should be fine. And I think that would be pretty reasonable because most people like to move the direct deposit. Usually it takes a week or two to update in the account. And then for the direct deposit to actually post, it takes a little bit longer.
Yeah.
So when starting with these things, I recommend starting slow. Like don't open like 4 checking accounts in the same day. Don't open like
No,
5 credit cards in the same day.
no.
Like learn how the system works, set everything up, start easy, and then scale up from there if you're comfortable with it.
So, like, the way it works is, if you open up four bank accounts a year and you get, say, 250 off of each one, so there's $1,000 a year. Right, there you go. Done, right? So then you kind of add that to your toolbox of things to do. And then, you know, you start going to the, you know, like you said, with the American Express points cards with Morgan Stanley and Schwab, maybe you get one card and then you, you know, you start buying some gift cards and then you just kind of play around a little bit at a time. And then you make sure, like, but with the checks, like, do they all know? Well, they, with your credit card history, they know because if they do a credit check, they can see that. But there are there things that they can't see? Like, so you signing up for a bank account will obviously not, well, maybe it will, I don't know. Will that affect your, like, credit score in all things?
Almost never. Sometimes they'll do a soft pull on one of the three credit bureaus here in the United States, Experian, TransUnion, Equifax. Some of them will do a credit pull to see, like, okay, well, we don't want someone who has, like, a garbage credit score and has defaulted and gone bankrupt and all this stuff. So sometimes they do a soft inquiry just to look at your credit report, but it won't be a hard pull on your account. It's rare, I think, for someone to do a hard pull to open a checking account. Schwab used to do that to open a checking account, but now they've moved toward a soft pull. But there are so many banks and so many institutions, but I'm just talking about what's common.
So, like, let's say you've got 10 cards and you're like, okay, I want to get 11th, but I want to get rid of the, like, so you just, are you constantly, like, rotating out of old cards and, like, have a burn pile that you want to get rid of, and then you've got new cards that you want to get?
I like keeping cards because it keeps the line of credit. Some offers come in, like, some cards just come out of the vault. I have a safe where I keep cards that I don't use very often. Like, one card I have, for instance, gives me free check bags with American Airlines.
Yeah.
But it only gives me 1x points on transactions. So there really isn't much reason to swipe that card when I have so many other cards giving me more. But occasionally I get mail offers. Like, I got an offer from PenFed Credit Union the other day, special 0% APR for purchases of $500 or more made in the month of November. So I started using that card because I could leverage the $10,000 line of credit. So now with all the gift card deals going on, if I can make a transaction of $500 or more, I'll use that card. And I'm essentially just getting a free $10,000 loan from the bank. And all I have to do is make those minimum payments for 12 months and then just pay it off in full before that 0% APR period ends.
There's something that I get. I've got, I talked about that travel card that gives you the health coverage. But I've also got, like, I don't pay for that card. That's usually like a $120 a year card. But I don't pay for it. And the way I get around that is I've got a specific savings account, and it requires that you put $4,000 in every month, or keep a $4,000 balance. And it's so funny. I go to the bank and they're like, you've got exactly $4,000 in this bank account. I'm like, yep.
Yeah.
And it gives me a free safety deposit box, which is like $150 value a year. And then it gives me like that $120 card. So technically, am I really saving money on, you know, travel and the safety deposit box, which let's say runs out to, I don't know, let's say $200 just so off of 4,000. So that's basically like getting a rate of return back of like $50 per $1,000. So that would be the equivalent of like, you know, 5%. Right.
Yeah, so, and maybe that's not so bad, especially since it's more liquid money.
Yeah, I mean, I could spend that money anytime I want. But the thing is, what I would normally do is I would take that money and I would buy a dividend paying stock, and then I would get like 5 or 6%. But I would also take the risk that the stock price could go down. Although in this market, nothing is really going down anymore. It's so weird. So yeah, I mean that's the kind of stuff, you know. So the bank kind of realizes, you know, it's like if somebody has, you know, it's just cash deposits, right? So if they're just depositing and getting like 1% money on their money, which is just like highway robbery now. Yeah. So it would make more sense to like deposit your money into a specific type of bank account that gives you like a specific fees off your banking.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's another bonus that's current right now as we're recording in November. US Bank, once again, they're quite the gem. They have a business checking account now that they will give you a $300 bonus if you deposit $3,000 within 30 days of opening the account and maintaining that for 60 days. So the rate of return on that is very, very good. You're just parking $3,000 in an account and they're giving you $300 for doing
it. Is that a minimum, or is that just they're only giving you on that $3,000? They're not giving you anything above that?
No, I don't believe they're giving you any much more than that, or it's like a 1% or less. But 300 back on 3,000 for parking it for 60 days is just phenomenal.
So you could go online, open the bank account there, and then just kind of transfer the money through there.
Yep. Yeah, you could do that online by connecting an external account.
And how much did you say they were giving you? 300?
It's a 300 bonus for depositing 3,000 and maintaining the balance for 60 days.
We see what they're probably going to do is they're going to take that 3,000 and they're going to buy Bitcoin. And then they're
they might. Yeah. So for people, it's interesting because if you have a lot of source of income, if you have a decent amount of wealth, then okay, that 3,000, I have a pretty safe return here of the 300, and you could pretty comfortably move money around in different accounts. Or even if you had low, like, okay, maybe I'm just getting some paychecks here and I just connect the direct deposit and that's the 3,000 coming in and I just have it sit there. I imagine that most people just have money sitting in a savings account or a checking account or something that they're not really using and doing much with. Some people aren't as comfortable with the risk of the market. Some people will invest in different ways or they just want that liquid money. I don't know. But for me, the 300 bonus on the 3,000 is pretty good.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, in terms of doing this, like there's a guy called Andrew Tate, and he talks about how in terms of the wealthy, you know, a wealthy man has money, but he doesn't have time, and like a poor man has time, but he has no money, right? So when I think about these types of things, I think like it involves a lot of legwork. Like you got to go to these websites, you got to do your research, and then you have to learn to spot the opportunity, right? Like so, you're probably sitting there and you're just like, you know, just like normal. And then boom, that's the promotion I want, right? Like, and then you see that promotion and you like, you realize if I don't jump on this immediately, they're going to cancel it because they're going to get too many people signing up for it too quickly.
Yeah, it's usually good to hop on really good deals. Although the bank bonuses are pretty reliable to stay around for a few weeks or a few months. So those are usually pretty good. And I'm always looking at like the time value of these things. I'm in some Facebook pages where people are talking about clipping coupons and I got like 50 cents off deodorant and stuff. And like, that really doesn't appeal to me, but it's like, okay, it takes me maybe 10 minutes to fill out an application online. I'm already looking at these sites anyway. I find it fun. I'm already in the community. Maybe like 10 minutes to fill out an application, like 5 minutes to check some websites in the morning while, you know, I'm waiting for my rice cooker to finish for lunch. Okay, I transfer the money. Maybe that's like another 3 minutes or so. So I think the hourly return on something like that is really tremendous.
Yeah, I mean, it just like I said, you got to like see the opportunity. And like once you do it enough times, like, you know, everyone's expecting to like go out there, get their credit card and like instantly start buying up like $10,000 worth of like, you know, gift certificates and then like flipping them and then like collecting.
Yeah.
You know, like that's what I would do at first. Right. Like I remember going to Costco a few times and people were just like going in there and cleaning out the iTunes cards. And I was like, what is going on? Like, why does everyone wants like an iTunes card? And I couldn't really understand it. Right. And you know, some people were like, oh, they're probably going to ship them overseas. And I'm just like, maybe, or like, maybe they were just reselling them, right? So they were just getting their money back. And then, you know, once they sold them online, they got their money back and then they just collected the points and that's it.
Yeah. And here I mentioned that 5x points promotion for groceries and gas. I haven't paid for gas in like the last 3 years because I've been able to leverage all these grocery programs to save this kind of money. And more recently, they've added a new gift card called Game On, which I find to be really interesting because you can buy this prepaid gift card that allows you to put money on sports betting websites. So for those out there who know how to play blackjack well, you just play with basic strategy against the house. You're maybe giving about 0.5% up to the house, but you're getting 5x back for groceries or 5% back for groceries after buying these gift cards. And there's a slight activation fee. You can upload these gift cards to the gambling websites, play through it in blackjack, and you're not giving up so much in the process, and you're making the big return from the promo and the credit card rewards. So that's a very interesting way to do it. And sites like DraftKings, for example, here in Pennsylvania and some other states, they've been offering some interesting props in NFL games. Like this next week, it'll be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers playing the Washington football team, not the Redskins anymore, right? So,
did they officially change the name, or is it?
No, it's still the Washington football team. That's what it is. Yeah, yeah. So there's one prop that you can bet: will Washington win by a shutout? So the odds on this are like -100,000. So it's like incredibly low percentage of the thing happening, and you don't make much money on the bet. But it's very interesting that you're able to buy these gift cards with a credit card, upload the funds on the website, and bet on these like super, super, super low risk events, and then just withdraw your money after betting and playing through the funds at least once.
Okay.
So like, what are the chances that Tampa Bay won't score a field goal in the entire game at least? I mean, that's incredibly, incredibly low, especially since they're one of the better teams in the NFL at the moment, and shutouts are just rare to begin with. So the math really works out to take the risk on that, in my eyes.
Yeah, no, for sure. So I'm thinking, any other areas that you're thinking, like, besides the gambling, besides the hotel, like, rewards, and besides the check bag and stuff, like, do you have any other cards that you get specific rewards for? Like, I don't know if it's just points, but if it's just, like, specific services that you don't pay for anymore.
Yeah, I mentioned the hotel status. Hilton is really interesting. American Express has a card called the Hilton Aspire card that automatically gives you diamond status with Hilton as long as you hold the card. So diamond status gives you access to complimentary room upgrades based on availability. And several properties have what are called executive lounges. So when I went to Hilton in Athens, Greece, they had this lounge that was open for breakfast and for lunch and dinner. So while I was in the hotel, I mean, just paying one person for breakfast would have been like $15, $20. But here it's a whole lounge that's just a big buffet of food and drinks. So just on using that lounge, that was an incredible savings and a really cool experience to go with it. And some of these hotel statuses will also waive things like parking fees. When I went to Washington, D.C. and stayed at Hyatt Hotel, I have their top status as well. It would have been like $35 to park in the garage that they have there.
I remember you mentioning before, when we were talking before, that like in Vegas, you can get like parking fees, and besides the resort fees taken off.
Yeah.
So that totally works out.
The parking fees, the resort fees. So the savings really add up. And another card with U.S. Bank, once again, the Altitude Reserve. It has an interesting feature. It gives you go-go Wi-Fi passes that you can use. So instead of paying for plain Wi-Fi, you just get these passes through signing up for the credit card. You get 12 of them in a year, last I checked. And that's a really big savings, because sometimes the Wi-Fi will be like $30 for a one-way.
See, what I would do if I were you, in terms of your website, I would create like, you know, I come to the website and I would be like, you know, I'd have a different like I'd set it up with different squares, and each square would be like gas, you know, airline stuff. Like, so people, it would be really simple to kind of navigate, and then people could just click on that, and then you would like walk them through how to save money in different ways. So, you know, apply for this card, and now you've got, you know, your check bag for, like, free with American Airlines, right? So
yeah.
And then, is there a way for you to make money off of them applying? Like, is there something you could do that like that on your website so you could actually make money off that?
Yeah, I do have a tab on my website where if people sign up for certain cards, certain apps, certain programs, that I get referral bonuses. So that's one way that people can support me without actually giving me money. Although I do also have a Patreon where people can subscribe, and I offer some consulting services that I can walk people through the steps, give them recommendations on what to do, what to sign up for, and sharing some creative ways to spend.
See, what I would want is a website. Oh, excuse me, a website where I could go to, and I can see, like, you know, I'm like, I want to save money on gas. So I've got, right now I've got my gas card. I'm saving 3 cents a liter, which is probably like 1 cent a gallon or something. It was probably just around there. And then, you know, and then I get my points, and then I can cash those in, and I can get like 10 cents or 3 cents or 4 cents off of a gallon again. So it multiplies out the savings over time. So, you know, that kind of works for me.
Yeah.
Is it 1 liter or is it two? I don't know. I can't remember now. I can't even think about this.
Yeah, it's difficult because some of these deals are local, regional, maybe statewide. So I have giant grocery stores in my area, but they don't have a footprint outside of Pennsylvania, except for some stores that are affiliated that are in the Maryland area, maybe some around New Jersey. But all these things have different programs, even though they have the same name, that some of these programs you can only get up to a dollar off per gallon, or maybe $1.50, or only fill up a certain amount. But with the giant program that I have and know locally, it's the price of gas goes down to zero.
Yeah,
the price of gas is $3.50. I just have to use 3,500 points, and that gives me 25 gallons of gas for free.
Yeah. So what I would do is I would just be like, okay, how to get your gas, how to get gas price, your gas price down to zero. Here, you know, like step by step, like these are the things that you can do. These are the options. So just focus on that one thing and do it really well. And then people will be like, they'll tell other people like, hey, look, this guy's telling us exactly how to get deals on gas. But like you said, it varies from region to region. So it's kind of, it's difficult. Yeah.
What I like to do is like focus on the general and the theory of it. And then people can find things in their areas that work for them and that are particular to where they live and what they're doing and try to find that and use
it. But an American Express card with Morgan Stanley or Schwab, wouldn't that be nationwide?
Yes, the credit cards are almost always nationwide, although some banks will say, okay, you need to have a local branch in order to sign up for a card. And especially these smaller credit unions, they're only offering products in certain states or certain regions. So it's really different. But yeah, the bigger banks like American Express, Chase, Citi, usually it's a nationwide approval. Although some of these banks are also relationship sensitive, so they'd want you to have some checking account or some kind of relationship with them before applying for a credit card. Like one interesting thing about US Bank, one of their best cards I mentioned, the Altitude Reserve, they say that you must have a relationship before getting the card. And anyone anywhere in the United States can sign up for a US Bank self-directed investing account online. And it's very easy to get in. There's no account minimums. You just have to make one trade a year in order to waive a service charge. So I funded the account with about $50 and I bought one share of American Airlines. So that gave me a foot in the door. And when underwriters look or when the computer algorithm runs when I apply for a credit card, they see, oh, look, he has an investing account. And then since you have an investing account, you could also get a checking account and get the bonus with that since you already have a bit of a foot in the door.
Yeah, I'm trying to – like, but again, having that one – even doing that one trade a year is still a hassle. You know that as well as I do because it's like you got to remember to do it, right? It's like
– Yeah, I have a calendar notification for January 2. It's just a recurring event. And yeah, at a higher level of playing this game, it's like some of the benefits you get to use every quarter, maybe every month. So I use calendar notifications and Evernote in order to keep track of stuff.
Yeah, I mean that's probably – like that takes things to another level. You got in terms of organizational skills. Like you have to be really on top of this stuff if you want to do it.
Yeah, because if you're getting credit cards that are packed with benefits that offset the annual fee and you're not using the benefits, then you're just paying out money to the banks. But what I found is, yeah, starting very small, you learn how the first card works that you get another card and you just gradually add. It's like nothing's going to come very fast. Like if you're learning the game of chess, for example, you know, you're not going to be an expert in like day two. You're just going to take it slow and learn some concepts and build up from there.
But let's say you're brand new to this, like say you have to start today and you wanted to make as much money as quickly as possible. What would you do?
Yeah, I think the Chase Sapphire Preferred is a wonderful starting point. I think it's a really easy card to use. The points are flexible. It's really good to have. And then, of course, with the Chase 524 rule, as I mentioned, it's generally a good strategy to start with Chase and then later branch out to other issuers once you're beyond the five cards with Chase.
But in terms of overall strategy, like besides credit cards, like what other advantages would you like go for right now if you were just wanting to make quick cash? Because that's what everybody wants. Everyone wants this like get rich quick off of like, coupons well, card thing.
Yeah, That's not too realistic because it's just going to be gradual. I mean, sometimes you'll get like a slam dunk savings or like I mentioned the promo on the gift cards. If you were to have like personal use for Lowe's or Home Depot, for instance, or the promos are just different day to day.
So gift card galore. Let me go take a look at that.
Yeah, gcgalore.com, doctorofcredit.com are two wonderful, wonderful resources. And of course, my website with podcasts for information that people can use.
Yeah, so I'm going to take a look at GC Galore right now and see what they've got on here. So they've got spa and wellness gift card deals from Spa Week. Like, again, you're going to have to find some, like...
That's one you can really skip there. But we sold down 10% off Chipotle. Like, maybe people are going to Chipotle and buying there anyway.
Like, here I'm looking at H&M. So there's an H&M. Earn 20% cash back at H&M. That wouldn't be so bad, right? But it says with American Express offers, Chase offers, and Douche. I don't know what the hell that is.
Not Douche. it's a card linked app, Dosh, that you can link other credit cards to, and you just get passive cash back after shopping at certain merchants.
So does that mean if you use those specific payment methods, you're going to get 20% cash back?
It really depends on what they're offering.
But usually, the deal earns. It should say earns, but it says earn.
Yeah.
The deal earns 20% cash back at H&M when activating the offer in Google Pay and paying with a linked card. Mm-hmm. So does that mean you have to activate Google Pay for the first time, or is that just connected? So
Google Pay has an app called GPay, and okay. you can log into that, and it will show you different offers with different merchants. So you would just tap on H&M in this case, and you would use your card to swipe. It's already connected to Google Pay. And then later they'll give you 20% back after the purchase.
Well, this guy says, 20% cash back, but he'll get $15 and you'll earn $5. Does that mean that it's kind of
No. That's his referral link to Google Pay. On Google Pay, you can use his referral link. And just for signing up for Google Pay, you get $5, and then the referrer gets $15.
Yeah, so basically, if you're doing this, you're going to get $5 by signing up to Google Pay. He'll get $15. Okay. And then once you go there and you use, I guess, one of these payment methods and you link it to Google Pay, then you'll save 20% cash back on purchases in H&M plus the $5 from Google Pay.
Yeah, and it also stacks, as you mentioned, the Chase offers and Dosh. Like Chase cards, if you log into your credit card account, it will say you get 10% off at Rite Aid or 10% back at Rite Aid. H&M could be listed on there where it says 10% cash back up to $10. So sometimes you can really stack a lot of these deals and get a really good discount.
Like here's this one, Chipotle Chase offer, get 10% back up on $30 of spending with Chipotle. The deal mm-hmm. gets you 10% back on Chipotle with a targeted Chase offer. So does that mean you have to use a Chase card, or is there a specific card? How does that work?
Yeah. So you have to log into your Chase account and see if that offer is there. So not everybody will have that offer, but some accounts will.
So basically, you'll save $3 on a $30 meal, I guess.
Yeah. And a lot of these things, you could just buy gift cards and load the gift cards to the apps. That way you can maximize and get the maximum cash back there.
Okay. And then let's take a look at some more. There's Rite Aid. I'm guessing that's a pharmacy.
Yeah, it's a pharmacy. Yeah. Yep.
Deal gets back 10% back. So what is it? Rite Aid Chase offer. Get 10% back on up to spending $60. So you get, again.
Yep, $6 back. Yeah. So that's a really interesting one, because with a lot of these deals, you could just buy gift cards. Rite Aid sells Amazon gift cards, and getting $6 after spending $60 on an Amazon gift card is pretty good. I would imagine that a lot of people have demand for Amazon and use it a good amount, especially with the holidays coming up.
Okay, let me see what else we got here. So there's Gap, Banana Republic, Old Navy, PayPal, digital gifts. Buy $50 of Gap options gift cards for $40. There you go. So that's not bad. And so you get
20% off there, yeah.
Yeah, and then so if you're buying gifts for people for Christmas, you're like, I'm going to spend $50 anyway. Might as well spend $40 and put the other $10 in my pocket.
Oh, absolutely. A solid deal there. 20% off is pretty good for that brand. I find with this hobby that I'm almost never paying full price for anything, because there are just a lot of creative ways to save.
So here it says, so you get, it's a limit of $5. So you save $50.
$250.
Yeah. So what you do is, so I would take my $250 and then I would go to, let's see here, Gift Card Galore, and I would post them there. Is that what I would do?
No. Gift Card Galore doesn't buy the gift cards.
Okay.
But if you were, again, you would look at one of the exchanges like Gift Card Wiki, and you could possibly sell them there. One of my private buyers buys these cards at 80%, and some credit cards will actually give you 5% back on PayPal purchases. So you're up 5% on the $200 and spend there. So that's an easy $10 for buying those gift cards and flipping them.
Yeah. So now I've made $50 by basically going and buying these gift cards and flipping them over on Gift Card Wiki. Let's just say I sell them. So I've already. Will I get them at 90% or what?
Oh no, they would resell at 80. Is generally the rate that the Gap goes.
So if I had $250 worth, so would that mean I would just get $200?
That's an example of what's called a break-even deal,
where
you get back what you spent, but you also get the spend on the credit card. So if you're working on a welcome offer of, say, spend $4,000 in 90 days, you just put a $200 ding in that pretty easily.
Okay, so if I'm looking at GC Galore and then I want to take advantage of this, like, is there any way where I can, like, pre-find someone that will buy this form from me?
Like, that's one of the exchanges. A lot of these exchanges will just list their rates and what they're buying the cards for. So once you get into one of these communities,
so Gift Card Wiki is one of them, but there are other ones. Like, how would people even find it? Just do a search for, like, gift card exchange?
Yeah, you can find that. I think Card Cash is another one that might be taking people. My private buyers, unfortunately, aren't taking people at the moment, so it doesn't really do any good for me to say, hey, contact so-and-so, because they've already taken enough people and they're not taking more at this time.
Okay, gotcha. So let me see.
Yeah, and one, I suppose, can also be creative in trying to utilize their own social networks and friends and family to do some of this stuff as well.
Yeah, I mean, if you go and you say, look, I've got some gift cards, I'm willing to get rid of them at 90%. I got them for Christmas. I don't know what to do with this. Yeah, I don't know. Like, do you want it? And they're like, damn right. I go there all the time, right? So, you know, if you've got your Facebook, your 5,000 friends on Facebook that never see any of your posts, which is just ridiculous. Like, I got a story to share about that. So I've got, there's a guy who keeps posting pictures of his kid, and it's his first kid, and he's posting pictures like every day. And I can't unfriend him because he's a client, but at the same time, the only posts I keep getting notifications for on my phone seem to be his. And I'm like, why does Facebook keep sending me these posts when I don't even look at them? But they don't send me stuff that I actually want to see. And there's no way for me to I haven't found a way for me to like unsubscribe his posts, because Facebook just decides what I'm going to see without my authorization, right? It's ridiculous.
Yeah. There's another exchange here that I'm seeing on Gift Card Galore. It's a website called The Card Bay.
Okay.
So that can be something that people can look into to try to sell some of these gift cards.
The Card Bay. Is there a website?
TheCardBay.com. Unfortunately, I'm just having a keyboard issue at this moment. I'm trying to type and nothing's going through. I think Skype might have messed up some of the
Let
settings.
Let me see here. TheCardBay.com. Let's see if we can find this here. Yeah, there it is. Okay. Who we are, what we sell, guaranteed purchases. Yeah, okay. So buy cards. So let's see. I'm going to go to sell cards. Let's see what they say.
Yeah, see if you can find Gap on there.
Well, I've got to sign up. Now they're asking me to sign up. So the fact that I'm Canadian is going to be like, well, sorry, you're not qualified. Thanks for spending 20 of your minutes wasting your time, right? But I'll put that link in the description so people can check it out. TheCardBay.com.
Yeah, and it's also possible at a future time that my private buyers will be taking more people. So in the future, we're recording here in November of 2021. So this will probably be out at a later time.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like it's very, like, it's not as easy as people would think it is, right? Because like if you have to have the ins to get started with this, like, how did you even find these buyers? Like, were they just small guys and then they grew over time and then you just kind of fostered a relationship, or like what happened?
I joined a Patreon page called Milenomics, and if you subscribe to them, you have access to a private Slack channel where subscribers all post and they share some information. They have their podcasts. And a person in the group said, hey, I've been selling cards to so-and-so for several months now. All the transactions have been very smooth and they're looking for some more buyers. So would you like to chat with them? And then I got in contact with them. And after that, a few more people reached out to me and said, hey, I'd like to buy cards as well. So I've built a network over time from being active in different groups, forums, Facebook pages, etc.
And so you have no idea what they do with the cards. You just know they buy them and then they just disappear.
Oh, well, there's another exchange called Raise.com where people sell gift cards. But one of the things with Raise is that if you're just like brand new to the website, you're paying a pretty high fee to list cards on there. So what a lot of my buyers do is, since they're sourcing gift cards for multiple people, they get a discount on the listing fees on Raise.com. So I'm happy to sell it to them so that
I don't have to pay the very high fees.
They're paying a lower fee and we're able to split some of the profits essentially, because I'm getting the credit card rewards and some of the deals have arbitrage built into them. Like the other day, there was a Designer Shoe Warehouse or DSW was selling $100 gift cards for $80 and my buyer was buying them at 83%. So wow. I was able to buy three of those gift cards. So that was $9 right there, plus the credit card rewards and the spend on the transaction. So just a few clicks and keystrokes and maybe I spent like 5 minutes or so to make like a quick 12, 15 bucks. So okay. that was an easy promotion. I like the deals where I can just click online and buy the gift cards rather than going into stores, because of course that takes a little bit more time.
Like, but that's, is it mostly digital gift cards that you're buying, or is it? Okay.
Yeah. They're digital. They email you the gift card code and the PIN. A lot of the cards have PINs.
And so what you do is you basically just forward the email with a PIN and that's it.
A lot of the buyers like operating through spreadsheets. So I'll upload cards to a spreadsheet. And then when I put new information in there, I send them an email saying that I updated the spreadsheet. So it keeps it all in one secure place. Some of the buyers also use Google Forms, that you could just submit the codes into Google Forms and okay. then they see a notification.
Yeah.
Sometimes like physical cards I would send in postal mail, but that's rare.
Here's like e-gifter deal, 110 Home Depot gift cards for $100.
Yep. $10 off right there.
And this key term Home expires Depot. November the 12th. And it says limit of 5 tips and ideas should be. So how exactly would I get my $10 off? So say I was going to go buy some lumber and I wanted to save myself $40 or $50. What would I need to do there?
Yeah. So e-gifter is a website that sells the gift cards. They have the promotions. So you just buy the gift cards with your credit card through eGifter, and then they email you the codes for the gift cards. So if you were to want to use the gift cards in person, you just open your email from eGifter, and the cashier either scans the QR code that's on the card or the digital card, or they just key the numbers in at the register.
Okay.
So for people that had big demand for Home Depot, Lowe's, something like that, like there's a very quick $50 plus credit card spend and credit card rewards.
Yeah, well, yeah, for buying it off of eGifter, right? They get they save the money there, they get their points, and then they save their extra $50 on stuff they were going to buy anyway.
Yep. Yeah, and Home Depot and Lowe's sell a lot of cleaning products as well. Some people might be into gardening. There's a lot of interesting things that you could find there.
Yeah, so like again, this GC Galore has got tons and tons of deals. Like, oh, here's Tim Hortons. So that's something that finally applies to Canada, although it's probably like only applies to Michigan and New York State stores. Like, all right, whatever. So it says Sam's Club, buy two $25 Tim Hortons gift cards for $40. So again, that's an 80% cost. So that's not bad as well. And then that's something I typically give to people for like Christmas and stuff. So so that's not a bad deal right there. So again, I would just go to a store and then I would buy a gift card that way. I wouldn't go and buy it. Like, but how would you, like, say you wanted to buy a gift for someone for Christmas and you wanted to get a physical gift card.
Oh, you could just print the email. You could just print the code. I think the plastic is really overrated.
What if you don't have a printer anymore?
I could just buy the cards online. I mean, you could even take a picture and just send them a Facebook Messenger or something.
An empty card. It's like, your gift is in the email, right? Like,
yeah, check your email.
That's hilarious. It gets lost even easier than a physical gift card.
Oh, geez. The breakage is tremendous, and I think that's why the companies love these. By breakage, I mean like benefits that go unused. You know, it's like, oh, if maybe some listeners have had the experience where they're just cleaning up and like, oh, here's a $10 Starbucks gift card. Oh, where did that come from? You know,
I have physical gift cards. They're still floating around somewhere. I'll find them one day and I'll use them, right? They're out there. I know they're out there. But, you know, I've got
lost forever.
Restaurant, movies. What else I've got? I think I got a Gap gift certificate. Yeah, those will last forever. And in Canada changed the law so they have no expiry. So I can come back like 20 years from now and I can be like, I got my $50 gift card for Gap, bitches. It's like, great, that'll buy you like a pair of socks. So
yeah, hopefully the prices don't go up. Yeah, I think Amazon gift cards are
weird. I'm looking at it right now. It says updated point debit card earned 5 times at Amazon, limit 1,000 spend per month. What is this? I'm confused by this.
The point.
So use your debit card. Okay.
It's a certain debit card that you can sign up for that gives you some rewards, and it's usually not worth it to spend on the point debit card unless you're getting one of those multipliers like 5% back. Like there's
no Amazon it is a 5%. It's 5 times back at Amazon.
Oh yeah, so. I'm saying it doesn't always have promotions.
Oh okay, like, gotcha. You got to really pay attention to that. Yeah, that's
And Stephen Pepper at GC Galore definitely doing the Lord's work.
And there's a Costco one for 5% as well. The funny thing about like okay, when I went to Costco, this is probably about 2005 in the States in Chicago, just outside of Chicago. I went there, like, first of all, Canadian Costcos don't really carry liquor, but there was like, oh, it's like a novelty to see all these like aisles and aisles full of liquor. That was crazy. Number one. Number two, they had full size coffins. I was like, I was with my girlfriend at the time. I'm like, why don't we just buy one of these coffins and just fill it up with liquor and like wheel it out of the store? Like, I don't know. Just some crazy idea of mine. She's like, looked at me all like, what the fuck are you doing? What are you saying? Like, you're acting all weird. I'm like, yeah, why not?
Anyway. Yeah, and what's interesting with the 5% back at Costco is that sometimes Costco runs deals for discounted gift cards as well. So you can stack and save even more.
Yeah, here's one point debit card earned 5 times at Whole Foods. So if I'm buying my fancy glacial Icelandic water, I could go to Whole Foods and, hey, it's fancy. It's $4 for like one bottle of water. It's expensive stuff. But
lots of Whole Foods also sell Best Buy gift cards. So that's an arbitrage opportunity right there, that if you have a buyer for 97% on the Best Buy and you're getting the 5% back or off, there's some possible wins there. And Whole Foods, of course, partnered with Amazon, so you can also get Amazon gift cards through there as well.
Yeah, well, last time I was in Whole Foods, people were complaining. They're like, oh, it's like I used to be, they're like, you used to be able to buy this water in bulk, but since Amazon bought it, you're not allowed to, and you're not allowed to save money. And I'm like, damn. Like, when was that? Well, that's like 10 years ago. I'm like, oh. I guess that's not going to work. So, but yeah, there's all these weird like issues with shipping. Like the shipping costs are so much higher than they were a year ago. Yep. So what's happening is like, if you're shipping something like water, is it really worth your money if you're going to ship it and waste, you know, fuel to get something across an ocean when like it's going to cost you more to ship than the actual money you're going to make from it? So I think a lot of the supply shortages on shelves are probably due to the fact that stuff is too expensive to ship. So it's not like stuff is just not there. It's there. It's just that why would you buy something, put it on the shelf and lose money on it? It makes no sense. So, you know, I think that's what a lot of these like shortages are all about. Hello?
Yep. I'm here.
Let's see. And then there's like Disney Chase offer. Get 10% back when you spend $50. I'm guessing that's...
Disney gift cards or like actually offer spend like
the
at
store.
Disney.
Yeah, you could probably use that at the theme parks or the what do you call it, stores.
Yeah. So yeah, lots of brands that go on sale. So lots of ways to save on everyday living for sure.
Okay, so any last things as we wrap things up?
No, that's about all I have. So I hope that some people found some of this information helpful, that you can augment your life in some way by adding credit card rewards and taking advantage of profitable deals, whether it's signing up for that one credit card, whether it's signing up for that one bank account, or saving money through gift cards. I think there are a lot of ways to win and have fun with it.
Okay, and, so in the links below the video, I've got your website, hurdygurdytravel.com, which also has your podcast. So I'm going to put that in one section. Yeah. And then on the other one is Doctor of Credit.
Doctor of Credit, yeah.
So that one's so you can basically see which credit cards you can buy or basically apply for. And then after that, we've got Gift Card Galore. That's the one I've been just reading off of.
Yeah, so gcgalore.com.
Yeah. Sorry. But it's there. And then I put names of groups, but I don't know if I should put any specific links. I've got the Deal Buyer Group. I've got Buyers Club and PFS Buyers Clubs. So, and like, are there any other specific domains?
Yeah, Buyers Club are just like more general. It's just a more general term of different groups that you can find because there are a lot of them out there. MYS Buying Group is one that I mentioned that's specific. But yeah, a little bit of research and you could find some of these things. And yeah, it's tough to say because like I said, I sell to a lot of people, but they're not taking people at the moment. So that might change in the future. So okay. I'm hesitant to just like say, oh, reach out to this person. And then if someone gets bombarded by emails and it's like, no, I'm not taking anyone now. what's that about?
And then there's, you said gift card wiki. Let me just see here. Is that a website or is like, what is that?
Yeah, you can find
it. Oh, there it is, giftcardwiki.com. Okay, perfect. Yep. So that basically has, it says buy up to, so Home Depot. So, okay, here, they'll buy up to 8% off. So if I got those $110 gift card for $100 and I sold it to them, would they buy it off me for like $108? Is that what they're saying?
No, it sounded like 92% of face value that they would pay for it.
Okay, so 92.
If their rate is 8% off, then it's probably 92 face. So for any of the deals where Home Depot is 10% off, then you're actually making money on that.
So basically, if it's 110, so buy up to 8% off. So this is break even then, basically what you're saying.
Yeah, pretty close to that because it's adding 10, and then you're selling the 110. So if you're selling 110 at 92% face value, it's $101.20. You're actually up $1.20 on
it. It says selling for 88%.
For Home Depot?
Yeah.
That rate seems low. Usually the Home Depot rates are 90% and above. But okay. That could be different with them.
So selling means that they're going to sell it to you for 88%?
That could be because I think they also sell cards on there.
Okay, so it's like an exchange. I see a lot of different stuff here. So it's like save 8% if you go through somebody called Card Bazaar. So there's somebody else save 5% if you buy it. So the value is 25 and the price is $23.75. So these are people, but again, you're getting 10% off if you buy it through that other offer I found on GC Galore, right?
Yeah, with the e-gifter deal, sure.
So this place doesn't quite give you the same discounts that you saw at GC Galore.
Well, GC Galore is not giving it the discounts. They're just linking to the deals.
So, yeah, but they're doing the work for you, right? So that's yeah. And this is people trying to directly sell to you. So maybe those other people are buying, going to GC Galore. They're seeing the deal, and then they're going off and they're buying the cards, and then they're heading over to gift card wiki and listing them. And people that don't know the gift card they can get 10% off. They're like saying, "Wow, this is like." I save 8%. That's great, right? Meanwhile, they're like collecting the 2%, and then they're like collecting all the points, and they're like, you know, here's somebody selling like $380 that they're selling for $350, right? So they're just like, they want an extra $30 and they want all the points, and they're going to get an extra like $50 too, right?
Yeah. So knowledge is power. Definitely following the deals and looking at these promotions and finding ways to save is really important. And you find the arbitrage opportunities if you can buy things at a low price and sell it high.
Like here's hotels.com. So I use hotels.com because they've got like the 10 nights and then you get the 11th night free. Right. Yep. So, but like, let's say I click on hotels.com. No, this won't actually allow me to go in here, but maybe they've got a deal. So maybe I could find a next, so I could layer one deal on top of the other, right? That's kind of the way it would work. So no, this is,
I've seen hotels.com. I'm looking at GC Galore right now. Oh, excuse me. Newegg was selling $100 hotels.com gift cards for $90. So it's 10% off right there. Hotels.com usually doesn't resell very well because the deals aren't as good. But for personal use, that can definitely make sense to save 10% if you're using that portal for some reason. But in the States, I highly recommend Hyatt, Hilton, Marriott, other hotel programs. I'm very heavy on Hyatt and Hilton personally. I have large points balances because the Chase and American Express cards have been very generous.
Yeah, like what I'm probably going to be doing is the next time I travel is – you know, I'm going to have my normal budget for a hotel night, like for when I do travel videos is usually like $60 to $100. Mm-hmm. But then now I'm like, well, I've made some money off crypto, so I can like up my costs. So what I normally do is I pay for like 10 regular nights at whatever motel I can get. And then I might be like, okay, well, if I pay an extra $20 or $30 and I use that free night on top of that, then I get that like really good hotel. So like the Hilton or the Hyatt. Yeah. So that's normal.
And American Express does have some cards in Canada as well. There's one resource I probably should have mentioned earlier, but it's called Prince of Travel. That if you look for Prince of Travel, you can find resources for Canadian-specific cards, bank accounts, things like that. So I think Prince of Travel is doing kind of what Doctor of Credit is doing in the States.
So princeoftravel.com?
You could just Google it.
It is. Yeah, I found it. Okay. Yeah, so it's got their credit cards on here. Let's see what they've got. Credit cards. Yeah, so they've got a whole bunch of credit
cards. It's like the American Express Cobalt card, I think, is a popular one in Canada. I know Aeroplan has various cards. TD is also a good footprint in Canada, too.
Yeah, that's the TD Travel Rewards card that I have. That's the one I'm using. But there's, TD First Class Travel. Let's see what it gives you. Like if you sign up now, you get like 100,000 TD rewards points and stuff. So a lot of these.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. A lot of them just like these are all sign up bonuses, right? Like you get these points if you sign up.
Yeah, the sign up bonuses are a very big part of what I do. And the people I consult with, they're not doing all the reselling. They're not doing a lot of these higher level plays as I am. And there are also people out there doing more than me. But some people I chat with, their plan is like, okay, I'm going to sign up for a new card every 3 or 4 months. I'm going to get the big welcome offer. And they're happy with that. Because if you could take down that big points bonus just for signing up for a card and putting your expenses on it, like your average daily spend, your recurring bills, maybe auto insurance and some larger purchases, it's not too hard to spend like 3K, 4K in 90 days and get these extra points for doing it. Because just using the same old credit card and getting only 1, maybe 2% back on all your spending, that's not really going to make much of a difference.
No.
If you can get the bonus welcome offer and a lot of these benefits like the free check bags, the free night certificates, the room upgrades, meals, it really makes a larger dent.
Okay, so besides Gift Card Wiki, and then after that I've got Prince of Travel, which is the Canadian one.
Yep.
Put that in there. And then the Card Bay, what exactly? I can't remember.
Oh, that's another gift card exchange.
Okay, that's another. So I'll put that directly under Gift Card Wiki so people can see that. Yeah, like so if I need to come back to this, I can kind of know. Okay, and then the last one is Cash Out Point Programs. American Express, Morgan Stanley, and Schwab Cash Out. That's where you do what again? Remind me.
Yeah, so you can cash out your American Express membership rewards points directly to Morgan Stanley or Charles Schwab investment accounts. So for people that might not want to use all the points for travel, that's an interesting way to go towards a cash back route. And sometimes I take a blended route where I have a lot of points. At this moment, I have about 750,000 miles with Delta and about 1 million points with Hilton. So I'm not too excited about transferring points to Hilton and Delta at this moment because I'm pretty good at the moment. So I've just been cashing out.
Okay. And then let me just put this last one. I think we're good. So just to kind of close it off, like what should people expect if they try to do something like this?
Yeah, I recommend, again, start small. Learn how things work, pace yourself, and gradually scale up over time. A lot of great resources online, some of what we've mentioned. And of course, I'm here to help people too. They can find me at hurdygurdytravel.com. It's HURDYGURDYtravel.com. And from there, I have my social media links as well, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and many other places. YouTube.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Justin. Awesome.
Yeah. Thanks for the chat. Thanks a lot for having me on.
All right. No problem. Later.